dog. I hated the ending of Black Panther.
Kind of an impossible task, man. To be fair, they were set up with something so hard to do and to do well. So if the fact that they leaned into it kind of being more of a memorial for the most part and less good about like the movie, yeah. I think it's kind of understandable. Like, I don't know. Yeah.
No, that was fine. The end though, where it is, okay, so why is it that the only major black character that you have in the MCU has to be leaving his child behind? Like, he got a baby mama somewhere. He had a baby mama and he ain't even wasn't taking care of his kid. This little kid was about 6 years old. Like, that means he ain't been taking care of his kid for like 3 movies. You know what I'm saying? So why did it have to be Chadwick Boseman that was leaving his kid?
We don't
behind?
Know that he wasn't going and seeing the kid. No, because like, we don't know.
No, she kept his.
He was snapped away for 5 years.
Oh yeah, yeah.
He couldn't. Well,
that's not his fault.
Like so he looks like a real deadbeat, for real, for yeah. real.
Well, he was dead, kind of.
He
so.
Was literally
yeah,
dead.
That's yeah. what I'm saying. Exactly. Yeah, he was like a real deadbeat. I feel now like, y'all got it. It came around. It came back around.
I feel like dads could pull that nowadays. Like, they leave their kid alone for 5 years and be like, I was snapped away. Like, I don't even know.
Son, you're never going to believe this. Came out of nowhere.
That nigga come out of like, look.
Right when
CIA.
I was buying those cigarettes. Ray just came out of nowhere.
The CIA.
Imagine like a really shitty dad watching Infinity War at the end. He's like, this is my
this
chance.
This is it. It's brilliant.
Hello, you beautiful nerds. I'm Jedi Master Grayson.
And I'm your favorite cousin, Bill.
And welcome to...
Does it?
Oh. The show where we revisit classic genre films to see if they're as good or as bad as we remember.
That's right, and we may get drunk while we do it, but as always, we cannot do it alone.
That's right, we are joined, as always, by a special guest to help us determine if this film stands the test of time.
As always. That's in there a little too much, yeah. I think.
As always. As always, and as always, introducing first, he's an actor, comedian, musician, illustrator. In fact, he did all the wonderful art that you see for the Drunk Banthas channel.
He is the third Bantha.
Yes, he's the official third Bantha.
All right, it's official now.
Noah Lance, welcome back to the show.
What's up, guys? Thanks, man. Happy to be here. I'm waiting on our uniforms, by the way. I'm waiting on the Bantha uniforms.
we're getting Lennon and jackets.
We're getting
made.
Everybody
cool.
With I thought we went with speed suits. I thought everybody was getting a speed suit.
I thought it was a speed suit, too. Yeah.
I was waiting to zip like Bantha costumes that you guys would wear.
Yeah, big hairy. Yeah, big hairy Bantha.
It's all business over like here. We're just.
Oh, why did y'all send me a banana hammock then? Like,
it just says drunk really Banthas weird. On there.
We're going to have you out front, Blake.
It says drunk Banthas on the banana hammock part.
He is the host of the Unfiltered Bachelor podcast, a podcast about relating through relationships one episode at a time. He's the lover and a fighter, and he's also the funniest guy I know besides myself. You know him, you love him. I'm just stealing his catchphrases now. Buddy, Blake Weather, what's going on, bud?
Woo. I thought for sure you were going to say 9 again. Like,
yeah, it's always a game time decision. It's always.
Yeah, I never know where you were going. And then when you said like actor illustrator, I'm like, 9's not an actor illustrator. He must be talking about me. what's up, guys? It is your favorite cousin's favorite Mexican, as usual, part of the Banthas crew. I just pop in and out, you know, like Cody on Step by Step, you know, I just sort of pop in and out. And then the audience goes, ooh, as I come in. So happy to be here. Happy to be one of many males breaking down a female empowered movie, you know?
Well, oh boy.
your audience move.
That's what you were missing.
Thank you.
We might have to start adding that.
Yeah, right. We need.
I've got the sound effects. I don't know if they're working right now.
They're usually always working when you test them. You can just try it on this next one because our next guest, Alejandro.
Oh yes, and on our next guest, you can catch him. Our last guest that I just introduced, and this other guest on the 900 Yards channel. I'm going all over the place.
You're
I'm
nailing very, it, Alex. You're doing great.
Doing great. Oh my gosh, Mr. P, could you cut this out? But he is the creator of the 900 Yards channel and a philosopher of the barbershop variety. Please check out his amazing videos on Atlanta. They clone Tyrone. And, you know, he's also had live streams. He's had us on a few times.
He's clearly a busy motherfucker.
He's a very busy guy. He's the Wendy Lawson to my Carol Danvers. Nine, welcome back to the show.
Yeah.
Thank clearly. You so much for having me. This was a great suggestion for Does It Hold Up, but it is causing a little bit of trauma because I'm just getting over Secret Invasion and it still hurts a little bit inside, you know.
PTSD.
Yeah, I think we're all still reeling from Secret Invasion.
No, Noah didn't go to war.
I didn't finish it. I saw the first episode and I just didn't keep going. I don't know.
He didn't go to Vietnam with us. He saw the
we're all talking like we hit the Bay of Pigs in World War II. Yeah, we're all talking like we came out of a traumatic battle and we're like, Noah, I'm so glad you didn't go. Like this,
you were so right. Dude. I should have went to college. You were right. We should have just gone to college. Yeah.
Noah flew the helicopter and it dropped us all off.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
All right, guys. This looks pretty hairy. I'll see you guys at the end.
That was the worst job to have. They died more than
this
anybody.
Pretty hairy.
Helicopter pilots. That
was
vital.
Yeah, it was also very dangerous. Yeah.
Yeah.
Life expectancy not very high. But speaking of the military, what are we talking about today?
We are talking about the military, Alex. The 2019 MCU film, Captain Marvel, starring Brie Larson, Samuel L. Jackson, Ben Mendelsohn, and Jude Law, which Jude Law has the most confusing fucking career of all time. Like, there's not one type of movie he has not been in now.
Right. Yeah.
He's been in comedy. He's been in rom coms. He's been in thrillers. Mm-hmm. He's been in action. He's been in horror. He's been in
everything. He's had a hit in each genre too.
And now adventure. Yeah. I mean, with this one, he added adventure. He's like, I've done action, but not action adventure.
Y'all see Fantastic Beasts though?
I saw the first one.
I did. Yeah, I did.
He's good. He's good as Dumbledore.
I've heard he's the best
Dumbledore. I mean,
it gets rougher. But the first one, I was like, oh, I like my Jude Law here. All right, it's just gotten rougher.
How did you guys feel the first time you saw this? I know it's gonna be hard going all the way back to 2019. But Noah, I'll let you go first. How did you feel the first time?
It was a different life. Different time, different world, different Noah. I had long hair down to here. I was beautiful.
No COVID.
The first time I watched it, I was always just kind of like, yeah, it was fine. Like, I don't know. I felt like I have a lot of similar issues with it then that I do today, which is just, I think a lot of it was kind of, and I know it's still like a 2-hour movie, but a lot of the emotional moments, I think, needed to kind of resonate and land a little longer. We kind of blow through the past scenes, which kind of give all the exposition for her character and the context of everything. They really fly through those. And there's a lot of talking over them, too. And I just felt like if those moments could have lingered a little longer, I think the emotion would hit harder by the finish of the movie. I don't know. I think I liked it more the second time through.
We'll get to that. No, I'm sorry. Spoilers on your boat there, Noah.
My bad. You're right. Yeah, but I felt
it tight there, fella. You just sit tight.
Okay. Into an old Jewish lady.
We're putting you in the timeout. You're in the penalty box. No.
Sorry. That's my gist.
No,
the gist of
muted.
Mine.
Blake, what about you? How did you feel the first time you saw this?
Yeah, I remember the first time I saw this. It was end of March, early April of 2020. So in COVID, I was dating a girl and she was like, oh, let's watch. Have you seen Captain Marvel? And I'm like, oh, I got to watch a female superhero. Like,
really?
Because Endgame had already came out. So like I was like, okay, they introduced Captain Marvel. She's got all these powers. That's dope. So I remember watching this movie and I'm like, why do we got to watch this backstory? We already know she got all the powers. Like, I just remember being like, And then like watching it, I'm like, it's got some cool fight scenes. Oh, it's got Samuel Jackson. Ooh, it's got Jude Law. Like, I'm a Jude Law fan. He can almost do, even when he does wrong, he can do no wrong in my book. Like, that's how Jude Law. Jude be having all the laws in my book. You know what I mean? And also, too, no, I feel you when you were like, oh, I was a different Noah. Then when you were saying that, I immediately thought of the Marlon Brando, the line back from like 1950s or 60s, where he's like, I could have been a contender. You know, like I felt like that. We all could have been contenders before the COVID. But yeah, I remember watching it. I remember not enjoying it too much and just being like, well, it is one of those movies, like before I'd rewatched it, I was like, oh, it's one of those movies, like it's a Black Widow, like it fills in some story beats, and okay, whatever. And then coming into this, as we watch like Secret Invasion, it's almost like necessary watching. I don't say necessary reading, but necessary watching to watch to this and to get some more, yeah, to get some context, and then it all starts to come full circle. So I won't get into my second watch, but like that was my first watch because I have differing opinions.
Yeah, good, because you don't want to get put in the penalty box. Nine, how did you feel way back in the day about this movie when you first saw it?
See, well, I actually watched this like opening week with my ex, went to the theater. Oh, and it's the reason she's my ex now. No. Oh.
That makes two of us nine.
No. I actually really liked the movie, especially the first time I watched it in the theater. It was at a time where all of the Marvel movies were hitting on the like in theater experience.
Yeah.
Where it was just kind of it was just good. And you know, maybe it was just like a little bit after watching it, I was just like, it's, I don't know, maybe it was a little bit mid. But yeah, that's all I'll say for now.
Okay. Word. Yeah.
What about you, Bill? How did you feel?
Let me tell you something. This is very important for me to point out, you know, these little points before I give my first answer. Because Alex can attest that I have always been a skeptic of comic book movies, not in the sense that I don't want them to get made, but in the sense that it only takes one slip up to go down a slide of where nobody, studios, wants to make these movies anymore. If you make a couple of bad ones, that's just what Hollywood does. They just dump that. And all of a sudden, your MCU is Sharknadoes. You know, and because they're not going to stop making them because somebody's going to go watch it. But yeah, now they're just going to go straight to DVD or straight to streaming, straight to YouTube. And they're going to be way worse quality. The budgets go down and nobody gives a shit about them. And they're almost meant to fail. You know what I mean? So I've always been a skeptic of them. And so at that time, I was still in that mindset and very angsty in that mindset, like, yo, nah, fuck that. I didn't even know. I was like, I don't know if Brie Larson is the right Captain Marvel. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, who is to say before that movie? You know what right. I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, I went into it with nothing but cynical mindset and came out extremely pleased with this movie. So but then when I came out, I noticed it was just like a lot of an opposite reaction, like a lot of people did not like this movie. So you know, I would rewatch it and stuff like that and just trying to see it from other people's perspective. But yeah, I didn't need to really rewatch this to remember what happened, but I'm glad I did rewatch it because I picked up on some things, I felt differently about some other things. So
yeah
how'd you feel, Alex, about
yeah, the
your rewatch. I mean, your first watch.
Time watching it. Yeah, I was super hyped for this movie because I was a big fan of Captain Marvel comic book. Like, I was reading the Kelly Sue DeConnick run, and because like I was like, oh, Ms. Marvel is Captain Marvel now. That's super dope because I'm a big old nerd. So like when I was reading that storyline and they announced the movie, I was like super hyped. Brie Larson was Abed's girlfriend in Community, so I was like, okay, she's gonna be really great. So I was really, really stoked for it. So I did come with my own little baggage coming into the movie. But even though the movie is not anything like the comic book run or like the backstory of the comic book character, I still really enjoyed it when I saw it. I saw it 3 times in theaters, I think.
Wow, nice.
Like opening night. I bought this shirt opening night. And yeah, I saw it 3 times at the time.
Cool, man.
Yeah, man. We're going to start just with this first shot of them, us being introduced to the team that she's in. Because I love these suits.
I love them way better than the like Captain Marvel suit now, or that she transforms into.
Right.
Just the color suit.
I don't know if I like, I don't know. Well, we can talk about that when we get to them, to that scene. But yeah, Alex, how'd you feel about this look?
Yeah, I thought it was a cool, sleek look. Exposition on why she has, where she got this costume and, uniform for the Star Force, which is a little on the nose name, but
yeah.
Star Force. You gotta have that in comics, right? You gotta have like
some things are a little on the nose.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Right. You gotta have a battle tank, right?
Yeah. Send in the battle tanks.
are we going to talk about like the second watch through at any point? I have some thoughts.
Oh yeah.
Oh no, we're talking about it right now. I was just easing us in. Okay. You know,
yeah.
I'm giving some initial questions. You know what I'm saying? I'm lobbing up stuff to you. So yeah, now what that was a behind the back pass. That was a no look behind the back.
One of the reasons we did want to talk about this is because there was so much craziness about the movie at the time. So now that we have like a few years separated from the review bombing and
the
weird, crazy men who were just felt wounded and thought that no one was going to make male superhero movies anymore after this.
the visceral reaction online was insane. I kind of touched on that earlier, but it was insane. Alex, do you have any of those comments, reviews?
Are you gonna pull up some of them? Why give them more airtime?
I was looking through the comments and I was like, these are gross and I don't want to use them.
Yeah.
I will say that it has a 79% critic score on Rotten Tomatoes and a 46% audience score.
That's unjustified.
It's because nobody's on the internet more than dudes who can't get laid.
Incels.
there's no one on the internet more than them.
That's true.
Every week. But let's talk about the story. How did you feel about the story? Because this is an origin story, but it's not your conventional origin story. Like
it's not grandfather's from origin.
Some
story.
Of the other origin stories, they've kind of tried to change it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Blake, you were chomping at the bit.
I have different opinion. I feel very much like Dana White, right? And I'll say it like this: in 2012-13, like they asked him, would you think women would fight in the UFC? And he was like, no, absolutely not. Women ain't fighting in the UFC. This ain't happening. And then 2 years later, Ronda Rousey is the women's bantamweight champion. So he goes back many years later. He's just like, well, I was wrong. And that's sort of how I feel about this. I was like, I don't know. I don't want to see like a whole women's movie about, but if it was Black Widow would have came out, I'd have been like, yeah, I'm all over it. Cause like I'd been a fan of ScarJo, since Iron Man 2. So I don't know. I didn't have any context for Marvel. I didn't read the comics or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But now looking back at myself to be like, I don't know how I felt about like having like a whole movie dedicated to this character. Like, I went back, the rewatch, incredible. I'm like, I need more of this. And I'm even more excited about like the second movie. And so how they introduced it, the whole like the storyline, like, is it the best ever? No, but like I enjoyed it, especially the second. Like, I think you it's one thing to enjoy it the first watch through, but enjoying it the second watch through too, like to be like, oh, because time has passed, because Secret Invasion has come out, because all the pieces are moving. This makes it like there's a lot more to enjoy and there's a lot more pieces that I liked even more that like are like, oh yeah, like this line or this scene, this makes so much more sense for that universe now going through it again. So the second watch through, this the storyline, like, yeah, like I'm with it. I don't need a character to start off when they're like a little kid, and then they're like, you're like, oh, they're gonna grow up to be like, no, she's already an adult, man. Like, she got some powers, like she's doing some shit. And then the whole like betrayal thing, like that was, it's a cool watching it this again the second time and having the reveal be like, Skrulls are not bad, the Kree are bad, and you're like, well, that makes sense, because then they fought Thor fought a Kree dude, like in the Thor, or not Thor, yeah, no, Guardians fought the Kree dude. Yeah, Star-Lord fought the Kree dude, and they're like, this makes, oh my, like, so by the, when that reveal happens, mm-hmm. it just adds to everything you've already seen. So storyline, as for the whole, like, not just for the movie, but for the whole universe, It works. It very much works.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nine, how did you feel like about like going off of that? Just because in this post Secret Invasion world where we know that like we've had a whole series where we follow the Skrulls and their whole past and backstory. Knowing that and seeing like these opening scenes where the Kree are just like mowing down the Skrull. It's like, he's got a gun. He's just shooting like shit.
Yeah, so he looks like a nigga getting shot in Chicago.
I thought that. That's I thought like, yeah. Like people getting shot by cops. Like I was like, oh my God, it's George Floyd. Like it's the whole thing. Like they're doing it. They're doing the Rodney King thing. It's crazy.
Jesus.
They're doing a George Floyd.
Israel and Palestine into there too.
Jesus. Yeah,
no, I'm not going that far.
Yeah, let's stay out of that.
Hey, leave the controversial statements to me, sir. I will be the only person making controversial statements and moments of uncomfortability for users and viewers all over the world. That will be me.
But yeah, Nine, how did you feel about that? Like that whole opening scene.
Well, first of all, the Kree actually give me nothing.
Okay.
As far as the God movie damn. Goes, I feel like the Kree, like, as them being
tell us
like,
how you really feel. God damn.
They're not really giving me nothing. I don't give a fuck about the Kree, to be honest. And I don't think that's, like, any of the parts that make the movie good, really. The first act is kind of weak, and that's because of, like, mostly because of the characters of the Kree and, like, how they're supposed to be acting. But also, I guess the name of the game is Amnesia, which is,
Wait, her name?
The name of the game is Amnesia.
Oh, and oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was like, what game are you talking about? Pretty,
yeah, I'm stupid.
You know, it's always a pretty.
Is that a board game?
Right.
Operation.
One you never
like. Operation Planet. Came out, and then there was Amnesia. You guys don't remember that one?
I don't remember that.
That was a good one.
Amnesia.
Of course you don't. The game you don't
ironically,
remember.
Yeah. Yeah. Ironically, you never remember Amnesia.
but yeah, that's like always a weird like story plot point, especially.
I want to add to you nine. Also,
that's going to be introduced to the MCU is just kind of a weird choice.
Just to add to you too, the whole storyline, like now that we've seen Secret Invasion, is like, bro, they all took off on the spaceship. What are they doing on Earth? What are you doing? Like, that's crazy. What do you mean you all landed back then? Like, you guys took off with Captain Marvel. She went to go find you a home. How'd you guys end up on Earth 2 years later? Like, or a year later? Like, that part for me was like, they should have just never made Secret Invasion because the storyline here worked.
Or if like they came back, or if there's like another like set of
fill in the blanks, do something.
Yeah.
That was. I think that was poorly handled. I think like things that happen after this movie is kind of disappointing when you see like you're expecting like a big space adventure with Captain Marvel next, and you know, and maybe that's the story where the story goes with the Skrulls.
Maybe
It's not this movie's fault.
From
the Marvels trailer, that looks like exactly the space adventure thing that we're going to get.
Mm-hmm.
Again, like her just being introduced with it, with Amnesia, I guess is like really the only way that you could have handled that character, but it limits the character's like range. And I think a lot of people picked apart Brie Larson's portrayal because she had to play it a little bit more stilted.
Right. Mm-hmm. Because
she doesn't know what the fuck is going on.
Right.
You know, that's a good, I never thought about it like that because I never tried to look at it anybody else's point of view, because I was like, well, if you don't like it, you stupid. So, but you know, the purposes of this show is to do this, is to, you know, try to break it down and let's see if it really holds up.
But you also really, you can't introduce it like you did with Thor, where like they just send her to Earth without no powers, like knowing fully mm-hmm. everything she knows, right, and then just right. send her to her, because we already did that in Thor, right? Like you had mm-hmm. to do it in a certain way. So I think you're right, Nine. Like,
yeah. Also,
you had to pick something and then be like, well, this is what it is.
Easily became yeah. just like Thor again.
Well yeah, uh-huh. but also you got we got to remember Thor is a 10,000-year-old character. You know what I mean? Like, we literally shouldn't have to talk much about Thor. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. there's, we just throw him into Earth and everybody kind of go, look, God of Thunder, and somehow he shoots lightning. Right. I don't know. He should just right. be moving sound waves around. It should just be sound waves.
Just thunder?
Just like, that should yeah. be what it is. But how does he have lightning? I'm just asking. I'm just asking.
Right, yeah.
Should, I'm just asking.
Yeah. Put it in the comments if you know what that's all about. Yeah, I'm sure the God of Lightning.
There might be like some kind of...
Because where there's thunder, there's lightning. That's the phrase, oh, right? Okay, where there's yeah. thunder, there's lightning. So yeah, if God, he's the God of Thunder, there's going to be some lightning.
So is there another guy out there just who doesn't get none of the credit, who's just shooting lightning into the hammer all the time? He's just giving all the lightning yeah. to Thor.
Yeah, we God saw it in the new Thor. Zeus had a lightning bolt.
He did like, a lightning bolt.
What are we right. talking about?
I would have loved it if the God of Lightning, he just has sound waves. It's like, where's the lightning? Dude's like, you know, where there's lightning, there's thunder. It's still cool, right?
It's still cool. But
to segue out of Thor, like, another thing about this story that I liked is that, I mean, this movie in general, but the way this story was told, Thor, what was it, Love and Thunder?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That shit didn't leave me with nothing, writing-wise. Right. I felt like I just watched 2 hours of somebody's student film. Like, it didn't leave me with anything like this movie at the end of it. Every bit of this movie is useful going mm-hmm. forward.
Forward, yeah. Uh-huh.
Preach, brother, preach.
Yeah, yeah. It leaves you with a note where she goes off and you're like, oh, man, she's out on this adventure trying to find home for the Skrulls, and leaves Fury with this cool thing. He's like, oh, she's his secret weapon. He feels right. so confident and cocky because he knows at any minute he can call Carol Danvers to come in and fuck some shit up. And she's crazy powerful. Talking about what you said, Nine, like, she's so powerful, you kind of have to, for an origin story especially, and it's more interesting, you kind of have to take away her memory. Yeah, it's a big trope, but taking away, give her amnesia and give her a power inhibitor. And like, tell her, hey, you get emotional when you use these. You can't be doing that, and try and get her, trick her into not using her full abilities and all this stuff. I feel like it's kind of the only way to set this up. Otherwise, it's kind of my problem with a lot of Superman movies is he's so unbeatable that there's nothing's a challenge. You're just kind of like, oh, well, okay.
But see, that's what you got to do, though. You have to introduce a character that is as powerful or more powerful than Captain Marvel, but
yeah,
at this point, and then in the MCU there was no character like that, so there uh-huh. was no way for them to interject that, really.
Yeah,
but to your point, that's why you have to give her amnesia so that she's mm-hmm. you know what do you call it, she's got her, you got her on a leash,
yeah,
so that she doesn't get loose, which is why she's not in Endgame, really. You know what I mean? Like, exactly. It's because they couldn't really use her in Endgame and have Thanos be this big bad, because all she's going to come in and just pop, 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 and that's it. It's the end of that.
Yeah. Exactly.
And kudos to, like, they're like, sort of putting her into the comic, I mean, into the MCU, because Ms. Marvel, this character's been around forever. She gave, like, Rogue her powers. So the fact that they were able to just like, well, we're just
Rogue
gonna,
also gave her right. Rogue also gave her a coma.
give and take
in comic books, y'all.
But yeah, like, so the way that they were able to just like sort of rewrite her whole story, and kind of, it did strip away her characterisms, because like, she is like a big goofy nerd in the comics. Like, her cat's mm-hmm. name is actually Chewy.
Yeah,
like, in the comics, right. which is like, I thought it was really cute, but. Yeah, like with the whole amnesia thing, it does kind of wipe away her her charisma and her characteristics, but there's a reason for it, so I didn't really bump up against it too much.
Yeah, Nine, I think that's a good point.
They didn't have a lot of scenes with Jude Law, her and Jude Law early. Like, if that had been, Noah was talking about, like, letting some things land,
mm-hmm.
If there would have been more of that, you might have got more of her personality. Because yeah. It doesn't seem like it took away her memory,
so fast.
Away her personality, but that's just so fast, like you said earlier.
Yeah, I want to talk about that for a quick second, because I think those moments, I know it's a two-hour movie already, but I feel like an extra 15 minutes thrown in there just to kind of make those moments last a little longer. And they have Talos is talking over the whole thing too. Like, he's like, no, not this one. Let's go faster. No, hold on. Wait a minute. It's like nobody even talks like that much. You know what I mean? It just let that.
Scrolls do. Tone that down. I know scrolls.
Yeah. Just want you to know. Scrolls do that. But it was just talking so much, and like I would have liked to have lived in those moments a little longer, and then you can maybe slowly have it go faster and faster and more talking on top of it until she realizes that she's being manipulated. But yeah, I just think that would have really helped with her personality. That's a good point, man. I just want to, having her be like, oh, she has amnesia. Of course she's like stilted. She woke up, she doesn't know where she is, who she is. She just knows she has to fight and everyone's kind of an asshole. Like,
yeah.
But you were about to say something, Blake. What were you about to say?
Yeah, I also think a nice little subplot here. I remember the first time I watched it, and even the second time I watched it was like, I remember the first time I'm watching it and you're like, Nick Fury has both of his eyes. Oh my God! What is going to happen that he's going to get one of them janked up? And like when he bumps his eye, and you're like, "Ooh, is that the moment?"
They keep doing it. They do it like three times.
Yeah. Right.
He's like, no, again, I'm fine.
It's like part of it.
Surprise, motherfucker.
And he has like the little band-aids.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And I was just like, they're doing something.
Nope,
here.
It's not it.
Like
watching the whole movie in anticipation of like you're like, oh, this is the movie. What's gonna happen? I don't know. And then finally, for it to be like a cat scratch.
What I said.
It was like,
did I pass?
Not yet. First job.
Soldier. Straight out of high school.
Yeah, that part's definitely, I get it. It's kind of funny, but it kills the moment in the Avengers movie.
Yeah.
Which is such an epic, intense moment, zooming in, better keep both eyes open and all that or whatever. Like, he just, it's so intense. It's so cool. It's such a good scene. He talks about someone he trusted, like, betrayed him. Like, it's such a good scene.
It was a cat. I remember watching it. I'm like, that's hilarious. And I'm like, also, like, wait a minute, no, like
it's not a cat,
bro.
It's an alien cat.
Shut the flurkin up right now.
Not a cat. That's not a cat. That's a cat.
But just to watch that with sort of a bated breath, right? Like you're waiting the whole movie for it because you're like, I know something's gonna happen. Mm-hmm. You know what the end is, and you're like, as the movie's going on, you're like, I'm paying attention to Jude Law and Captain Marvel, but like. Also, his eye. Like,
when's this nigga
nice
gonna lose an eye?
How do you guys feel about that old Sam Jack de-aging that they're doing here?
It looks good. It looks good.
I think when it's paused right here, it does like look a little bit painterly. But like when I was watching the movie, I was like, holy shit, this looked.
Yeah, no, great. There's two things that make it off. But it's just your immense knowledge of that your brain has taken in of Samuel Jackson. One thing is, even when he was this young in real life, he was never this like thick in the face.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, so there's actually never been a time in life where we've seen a Samuel Jackson that looks like this. So therefore it's not going to look natural to us. But at the same time, this is the best de-aging. And, you know, you can check out this show called Nine Nerd Yards Live. You know what I'm saying? We used to do some, you know, little conversations about this one show called Secret Invasion. You can check out all them hilarious takes there. But we were talking about Ahsoka on Nine Nerd Yards, and I said Anakin Skywalker's de-aging for Hayden Christensen was the best that's ever been done. I forgot about this. I must have forgot because this is way better than that one.
And it's crazy too because this is so much better than De Niro in The Irishman, and that movie, like, they cost so much money to de-age him, and he didn't move right, it didn't look right. Like,
yeah,
right.
In this movie, though, it came out a year ahead, and it was like, oh, like, Yeah, he looks like a. I buy it. I bought it entirely.
Like, I kind of forgot.
Yeah, I buy it. He's a young Sam Jackson.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm gonna play this clip real quick, and then I want to hear what you guys how you feel about like Brie Larson and Sam Jackson's chemistry together in this sort of buddy cop movie.
Got the rights of full bird colonel.
Then
spy.
Where?
It was the Cold War. We were everywhere. Belfast, Bucharest, Belgrade, Budapest. I like to be as I can make them ride.
Now?
Been riding a desk for the past 6 years, trying to figure out where our future enemies are coming from. Never occurred to me they would be coming from above.
Name a detail so bizarre a Skrull could never fabricate it.
Mm-hmm.
A toast is cut diagonally. I can't eat it. You didn't need that, did you?
No. No, I didn't. But I enjoyed it.
Here's
the thing. I love her sense of humor in this movie because it's very like satirical. It's very like straight, but like also she's in on the joke. It's not like Thor, where Thor's like, bring me another beer, right? Or like, and he starts throwing things around. And like it wasn't like she's an idiot. She's just like, I'm having fun.
But I like that you pointed out Thor, because Thor is her like, she is the opposite of Thor, but she is like Thor. She does do stupid shit. She does think about fighting before thinking. You know what I mean? Like she does overreact. She does have a bullheaded nature and she is a hothead.
Well, they've also got the joke of her showing up on Earth and she's just assuming, she's like, hi, I'm from C-193 of Star Force. I'm here to take me to your communications device.
It's
and they're like, what are you talking about? Yeah,
it's the Buzz Lightyear thing, right? Like, take me to Star Command. And they're like, bro, who? I'm Woody. Who are you?
I'm just a mall cop. Woody.
I did. What did you? What did you think of? Like, oh man, lost my train of thought.
Hey, Alex, we're here for you. We're here. Remember, that's why you cannot do it alone.
You know what? Yeah. Well, I'm glad that you pulled this part up. This nice transition.
There's
a really cool scene where you get a Stan Lee cameo. Obviously, at the beginning of this movie, they have the
this train scene. This whole sequence is really good. This whole train chase. I thought it was great.
Pretty great. Yeah. But we get a nice little cameo.
Look at his old ass.
Sam Lee.
Love that old motherfucker.
Dude, it made me tear up just seeing this scene. It made me tear up.
First of all, I want us to get that frozen. Because the fact of the matter is, he's reading.
He's reading the Mallrats.
Mallrats. I mean, he's reading.
True believer.
That in a second, yeah.
We're going to talk more about that. We got a little storytelling. Story time.
Believer. Trust me.
Oh. Very cute.
Yeah.
Very cute.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
Oh no. We went into my favorite part of the movie almost.
Nigga. Yeah. Or you talk about when she punches an old lady.
Exactly.
He's like, you ain't ever been on no subway, punch an old lady. Come on now.
Oh, yeah. I really wish they didn't put that in the trailer when it.
Yeah, they did.
Out. Yeah.
I wish they did it. They.
Yeah, that would. You're right. It would have been better.
I love that guy.
Oh, you like the black dude?
The reactions are great.
That's he's real. Right, though, just man. For people he's who right. don't know, that's real LA behavior.
Yeah, that's
real.
Somebody get hit on the train. It's not like in New York where people get in fights on the subway. People just move around like, ooh, nope. I'm just not. No, this ain't none of my business.
But also,
in LA, everybody turns around and go, oh shit! And if a nigga would sleep next to you, you go, hey, wake your ass up! They fight. Look, you missing it?
I have so many awful stories
that actually happened to him. So you know what I mean?
I've seen some people fight on the subway.
He has a Walkman in his hand, and I'm just so happy about that. First of all, that's so great.
Very time accurate.
And this was the scene where Worldstar started. So I just want people to know that.
He's like, I'm gonna create Worldstar after this. As the CEO of Worldstar on the train.
Yeah, like that was one thing I was like, he wishes his hairline was that good when he was
right. When he was exactly. Like he's never like, looked that age. I mean, he's never looked this way even at this age.
But you still believe that Nick Fury looked that way at that age.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Absolutely.
And see, that's where this stuff needs to be going, Hollywood. I know we come over here and we try to tell y'all what, how to do y'all jobs, and you know what I'm saying? It sounds annoying and shit, like, because y'all ain't out here doing it. Y'all ain't in the mud with us. But we are in the mud with you because we got to watch this bullshit that y'all keep putting out. So just listen to us. Quit listening to Heavy Spoilers. Quit listening to Emergency Awesome. Don't listen to them. They want what they want. We want everybody to be happy.
Stop listening to white people. Listen to minorities. How about
exactly,
that?
Exactly, man. Because we are cooler than them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, mm-hmm. That being said, Noah, what did you think about the Kevin Smith?
I mean, he's typically terrible at segues. That was
what did you think of, like, yeah, that Stan Lee cameo? You just mentioned that you kind of teared up.
Yeah, man, it made me tear up. I don't know. I just I wasn't expecting it. The intro for this one is a Stan Lee memorial too, as it goes in. It's different from all the other ones. And I was expecting it, but then I don't know, when we got to that scene, he's just, I don't know, it just felt really sweet. It just felt so nice. Stan Lee, to me, I miss his cameos, because I had this headcanon. He's like this weird interdimensional traveler jumping around all these worlds and stuff like that.
He's a watcher.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know. I just miss him. I just miss him. I miss the cameos. It was just a sweet moment. It made me tear up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually two moments in this movie that made me tear up, and the other one's at the end. We'll talk about that later.
Yeah, there's this one little moment that I wanted to bring up, where, like, it's like Kevin Smith talking about, because he obviously made Mallrats.
Did he now?
He did. He did indeed.
Because, you know, you say obviously, but there's a nigga right now going, what the fuck is Mallrats? Like, he don't know what the fuck that is. He been in prison 5 years. He get on YouTube. He's like,
What the fuck is Mallrats?
He got Thanos snapped.
Yeah, he got snapped.
He went
to go get a pack of cigarettes, and he came back. 10 years. Now he came back. We don't know what.
You can like watch the whole like 9-minute video of like him talking about like learning about it. But I just wanted to show like his quick reaction of
like, okay, so like most of the world.
Oh wait, no, damn, it didn't do what it was supposed to do. But
okay.
here, let me get to 5:39.
The flick I made like 24 fucking years ago, man. Like, you know, because the movie's set in 1995. It was everything. Like, I turned to my wife and I was like, I can die now. She said, shut up.
No, that's right.
Like, no, I won't. And one day I will die. I was so happy. Like, years ago, because I'd always loved him and thought he was so cool, I put Stan Lee in a movie. And then 24 years later, he returned the favor.
Yeah, I just want to.
Speaking of people tearing
up, did he not know? He didn't know they were.
He wasn't aware. Yeah, he wasn't aware until like that. He got a heads up from Kevin Feige, but he wasn't aware when they were filming or writing. Like, you know, hey, the movie about to come out. I know you're gonna see it at the premiere.
Right.
I don't want you to freak out because you might pass out if I don't tell you right now.
Yeah.
Type shit.
Wow.
Crazy moment. What did you guys think of the action in this movie? Because like there's a lot of
first of all, before y'all answer that, I'm gonna lead y'all into that, because I think that this movie is Lethal Weapon. You know, I think this is Riggs and Murtaugh. This is like Disney Lethal Weapon.
Man, it's like a Shane Black mix-up. It's the Amnesia of Long Kiss Goodnight and Lethal Weapon.
Ooh, and Sam together. Jackson's in all that. Yeah.
Whoa.
Well, he's not in Lethal Weapon.
No. But he was in the parody of it called Loaded Weapon with Emilio Estevez, and he's hilarious in that movie.
Oh my god, that's amazing! I did not even.
I have
know
never
that.
Heard incredible. Of that. But somebody put one of y'all put that movie in the link in the chat, and we can pull it up.
Oh my gosh! But yeah, Producer P is just sleeping on the dock.
Right,
supposed to have all this shit queued.
This is what she's supposed to be doing, and this is fucking ridiculous.
I'm so sorry. But Blake, how did you feel about the action in this movie?
It was fun. It was entertaining, and I think this adds to my point of this movie for me was like I watched it the second time, and I was like, this is like the last great Marvel movie. Like, this has everything that like one could want out of a Marvel movie without it being like mid, without it being Quantum of Midia or something like that. Like, this is, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the fight scenes for what they were. I liked the singular fight scene with Jude Law and Revere's or whatever they're calling her. And then I liked it. It was cool to see the setup in, because Endgame came out. Did it come out before this?
It came out after.
Okay. Yeah. So I didn't, well, in my order of operation, I didn't watch this before. But to know that the scene where she like just runs through that alien spaceship and like just like boom and like blows it up. To see the setup for that in this movie, you're like, oh, she has that power. Like,
yeah, she's done it before.
Yeah, she's done it before. I'm on board. Yeah, I'm on board with this now, like even more. So yeah, everything down to her powers, the fight scenes, like it seemed. Is it John Wick? No, I'm not looking for that in every movie. And this movie didn't lean into that. It leaned into more of like the comic booky side, like of more of like. Punch, punch, bad guy's gone. Oh, there's a big bad guy. I've got little metal things on my hands. How do I get out of this? Right? Like,
I liked that scene. Yeah.
That was fun. It was fun. And she leans into the power aspect and not like the martial arts aspect. Which
uh-huh,
I'm like,
yeah.
This is what makes a good comic book fight scene. Don't lean into things that you don't know. You don't know martial arts. You know, punch, punch, bad guy blows up, punch, punch, bad guy blows up. And even at the end scene when Jude Law's like, you have to prove to me without power. She just like explodes him. I'm like, yeah, go full Indiana Jones with that. I'm down. Like that's what makes these action scenes fun. So I had fun. I had fun with it.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it for what it was.
Yeah, agreed. Also, that's just such a manipulation tactic from Jude Law's character, that scene. So like she catches on. She's like, wait a minute. No, like you're just trying to get in my mind game. Screw that. I don't have to prove anything to you. I thought that was a great scene. Yeah.
Like, does it hold? And then he just explodes. Right. Like, he just,
like, does it hold?
Yeah. And even speaking of like this, like big action scene, like Nine, how did you feel about just like this whole like last moment, like this last stand? Because as we know, you know, Lee Pace, he's famous for trying to blow up planets. He's, you know, every time he gets a chance,
right?
He's trying to take it.
He's racist towards planets.
He fucking hates them.
Prejudice towards.
He loves to blow.
Get him out of here. Fuck him.
Yeah, he hates ego. Ego, especially that character. Yeah. He's a planet. Yeah. He was really hoping to blow up that guy.
I hate that guy.
You'll be here all week, folks.
That's the best.
Look right there.
Like.
Just a fun fact,
but that's a better look probably right there.
But yeah, like, that's a good look.
You in charge, like, what you looking at me for? Right.
Fun fact, Ronan got so upset by this that he cried so much his mascara ran, and that's why he has these big black streaks in the next movie. His mascara never cleaned off.
That I was like, ooh, full comic book. I love it.
Yeah,
her the second one she does, I think. Yeah, I don't know,
placate to me, you know what I mean? Pour that sugar on me.
I love that. And they just dip.
You're talking about this one right here.
Yeah, I loved. Yeah. I don't know what it was, that scene just really, that little clip hits.
She just punched her fists together. Like, I thought it was kind of dumb that she did that. I was like, so you're just not gonna kill them? That's how we doing. That's what we,
I know. It's like, you should do it. You should do it. You should destroy them right now.
Why not?
It reminds me of hundreds of possibly thousands of fucking Kree.
Maybe she's like, I don't. I listen. There's only so much I can tell my therapist today. Like, I don't want to kill any more people. No, please, just go home.
She was having fun. She busted out like this, like
when she does like the star.
Yeah, she blew everybody up.
She's like, God damn.
She's like, all I got to do is really, I really ain't got to do that. I just go.
Right.
y'all did.
Yeah. I also want to bring up something real quick. The Kree's ballistic warheads are trash. Like, those are the most trashest missiles I've ever seen in my life. They shot like 89 of them, and she blew one up, and it just like exploded like fireworks in the atmosphere. Like, there was no like implosion. There was no, like, it wasn't huge. It was just like, oh, it's a 4th of July right there. And then she's just like, I'm going to space. Like, there was no like sonic boom or anything. I'm like, bro.
Yeah, it could have been a bigger explosion for that. Yeah,
y'all got whack weapons for being aliens, bro.
Well, like, see, they brought them. They thought they was dealing with like ants. You know what I'm saying? Like, they thought they were humans. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Basically, they thought, well, you know, I'm going to throw some gasoline on and hit it with some fire. And then that'll be it. Yeah, I don't need to bring a dump truck.
Kind of like...
No, well, you see them. They use them when they go to that planet where they try to go, like, try to... rescue the whoever they shoot the missiles. I caught it on like the second watch, and I was like, what are the those make big explosions when they hit the ground, but in the air they're just like
they're fireworks.
They're just fireworks. I'm like, bro, Mexicans make better fireworks than that shit, bro. Like, hire us, we'll help you out, bro.
Trust me, they make better fireworks.
Yeah, like, did you guys feel like the Kree were a big threat? Like, after we did get the twist, because at first, you know, the Skrulls are the bad guys, and then we find out.
Yeah, they're even like, Kree, and you're like, oh, those are definitely bad guys.
Yeah, like, I don't want to mess with him, right? Yeah. He coming at me, like, yelling like that. It's like, finding out a bear is really, like, the sweetest bear ever. Like, no, I ain't mad, but I ain't got to take the risks to find out that he was the nicest bear ever.
This bear was just trying to give me lollipops. He
was spreading a love on you. Yeah. And
cocaine
you shot him.
He's a really nice guy when he's off the cocaine.
What's that John Candy movie?
He's pretty nice when he's sober.
Let me look right now. While I'm talking about it, you can go ahead to the next thing.
He's looking at the Great Outdoors.
I was gonna say that I actually really loved like all of the Top Gun shit in this.
Yeah,
like all of the fight scenes. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, it is cool.
That like last fight scene, of course, like they're kind of incorporating. She's like, we like the jet plane, and they're kind of like tracking her. Like, she's a jet. I thought that was really nice.
Yeah, it was pretty good. I would like to bring up that other scene that made me tear up. I just feel like it's a really hard-hitting scene. They do a lot of... One thing that bothered me when it first came out is, like, I like empowerment movies. I like women empowerment movies.
Oh, yes.
But when I first watched it, there was a lot of stuff that just felt really too on the nose, like the guy hitting on her... Hey, why don't you smile for me a little bit, baby?
You know why they call it the cockpit?
You're too emotional. Right? Like, it was all these things that just felt so on the nose that it kind of made me be like, okay. I'll say, watching it this time, I didn't feel that way. It felt really kind of subtle. I don't know why. Maybe it's because I was looking for it the first time.
I'll tell you why. I'm so glad you brought this up, because this is one of the main things that I was going to talk about. This is one of the main things I pointed out to Alex in the rewatch when we had. Because I watched it twice yesterday.
Yeah.
And... the reason you feel that way is because the reason I believe that the Barbie movie was such a terrible movie is because it was a bunch of overly placating, gaslighting women. Okay. To the point where women with, like, in my opinion, women should have been insulted by a certain level of it, because it does just make you think, oh, you just got to be pretty and happy. And then also the speech that America
Herrera
does, that the person who wrote that speech wrote it intended for a man to from a man's point of view, giving you the point of view that, you know, giving you the idea that this is how everybody feels. It just sucks to be human. But this movie, Captain Marvel, actually touches on things that women actually deal with and how women actually feel, how they feel like men try to close them out from society, men try to overprotect them, men try to mansplain. They actually do real mansplaining in this movie, not like what people try to just,
I don't know, I love Barbie movie. I like the Barbie movie a lot too
Yeah, but the reason you felt like this was subtle is because how over the top they did it in that movie.
Maybe,
Regardless if you like the movie or not, the over the topness that they went with in Barbie leaves you with no choice but to be like, wow, that was very subtle, but I noticed it. When she talks about being free, I've been fighting with one hand tied behind my back this entire time.
Now
let's see what I do when I'm free.
I just want to say, the scene that hits so hard, and I feel like it does the same message without being like super overt or whatever, is them showing all the flashbacks. And it just hit me. I remember it hit me hard in the movie. I remember it hit me hard this morning. I watched it this morning. It made me tear up. Just showing the scenes. It kept showing clips of her growing up. She has that go-kart accident, flies off the go-kart, she's playing baseball, she gets hit, she does all these things, she keeps falling down, and then just shows the shots afterwards that it cut out before of her getting back up. All those shots of her standing back up, like, it doesn't matter how many times I got knocked down. What makes me strong is that I keep getting back up and trying again. And absolutely. Yeah, I just really felt like that, just that scene, even just this cut, you could take just this cut of this whole movie, and this is like such a beautiful little moment, and it just
this
should
have been
so hard.
A commercial for women. This should just be a commercial that comes on during the women. This should come on during the LA Rams versus the San Francisco 49ers. Yeah. This should come on.
Yeah. It's no, just this a beautiful,
should,
beautiful
this
scene.
Should come on
shot.
When anytime that Kansas City's playing, right? Because it has a Taylor Swift song in the background or something like
oh,
that.
Oh, Taylor Swift song?
It'd be perfect. It'd be perfect.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. It made me cry. It made me tear up. It made me cry.
No, I'm sure.
No, that would ruin it. That would ruin it.
Yeah, that's really
where you go into the Barbie. See, that's what Barbie would have did. Barbie would have had fight song playing right here.
But yeah,
I'm not going to stand for this Barbie hate.
Oh, you're getting all of it. There you go.
You got three against one on this day.
I'm getting
all of it. I'm just the only one who's objective up here. I don't care about Margot Robbie and how pretty she is.
I'm about to call you Bill Shapiro right here. Like, I'm
completely objective. I'm the only person right here that can go. You can go back as far as we can go. And you'll see nothing but objectivity right here. Call it like I see them, man.
You know what? In a few years, when you do the Barbie, does it hold up? We'll look back at this footage and see how you feel.
Yeah, well, exactly.
Also, too,
let's
the whole
it.
Like,
let's do it.
It will not. The whole female aspect of it too. One of the things that I didn't realize like I was gonna enjoy was when she got into the fight scene, and then they play that "I'm Just Girl," right. And I was like, I like that, like, you know, because you're so used to the James Gunn, right? Like, he puts the song in the background, and it's very fitting.
Yeah, that was like James Gunn, for sure.
Very James Gunn, but like, it wasn't like, it was one of those moments where when I rewatched it, I was like, I appreciate this moment.
Yeah, it was
like,
subtle.
We see it so much. Yeah, we see it so much now, and you're like, oh, it played out, but it wasn't played out then. Like, it came out, and it was like, still felt fresh, and it still felt fresh on the rewatch, even as like a female empowerment like sort of moment, and I was down with it.
Well, see, go ahead, man.
As good as I don't know if the music implementation was as good as James Gunn does.
Sure.
Well, see, I think I don't think it was trying to be either.
No, but it just reminded me of it.
Yeah, exactly. It just reminds you of it. But you know, also he's not James Gunn ain't. Like originator of that shit or nothing. It's like Scorsese doesn't remind you of Scorsese. Doesn't that'd probably be a more more original
that's
reference.
That's boomer shit. Get that out of here.
I'm just saying as far as it being a trope in Hollywood
about cinema here.
But look, I just want to point out the ones that are in this movie. Salt and Pepper.
Yeah.
PLC.
Yeah. Garbage.
Garbage. Did we get we just said Gwen Stefani and No Doubt.
Nine Inch Nails anything?
No, we did not have Nine Inch Nails in this, just the shirt, but they were not in this as a song, which is funny.
It's like, oh, I don't know if we can actually play any of your songs.
Yeah, we're getting this merch off.
Someone should have went up to her and been like, name some Nine Inch Nails songs, you know, just like band that's like, you don't like that band.
Yeah, that would have happened to you in the 90s. Somebody would have checked you about your shirt. Like,
yeah,
you really fuck with the NWO? Name five NWO members right now. But
one thing I was gonna say.
Yeah, we already went off the score. I was about to talk. Go ahead.
One thing I was going to say, one of the criticisms that were circled around this movie was that it's like, oh man, all these needle drops, we get it, it's the 90s, you don't have to play all these 90s songs.
So what are they supposed to play? Kendrick Lamar, nigga?
Well, I mean, if you watch movies in the 90s, they played songs from the 90s, why are you being so weird about this?
It's like, they don't have nothing else but to do but complain about shit. Which is coming up in my goddamn piece about why people think Marvel movies suck now.
Yeah, did you, Blake, bump up against any of the needle drops specifically?
Nah, man, I was a fan. I'm a fan of like putting like
He bumped music into
of the, yeah, I was like, ooh, that feels good.
Going full throttle in here.
Yeah, I was here for it. So yeah, like, no, man, I'm not some movie hater. I like to see the good parts of, and aspects of movies. So if I hate on a movie or a show, you have pushed me to that limit. This movie did not do that. And I was happy with the song selection. Like it felt like fitting of the time. Mm-hmm. And it just fit well with what was going on in the back. Like, it was good background music for like what's happening when I'm watching. So
I'm so glad that we have literally seen most of the times that Blake has been so upset about a movie he had to hate on it. Like, I've actually, like, with the information you just got,
forced him to watch most.
We forced him to watch a lot of them. We have, like, we've contributed to it.
Hey, man, I don't know. Just this wasn't any Wonder Woman 2, honestly. So I just think that's talking about movies you hate. Ooh. I cannot stand Wonder Woman 2. It's the most.
I thought you were talking about.
No,
I thought you were saying Wonder Woman 2. Like,
oh, yeah, also. Wonder Woman 2 is the top tier movie.
It's pretty good, but it ain't no Wonder Woman 2. Okay?
I can stand for the Barbie hate, but I will not stand for Wonder Woman 2 hate now. Y'all will just fucking respect me.
I could have an entire podcast series on how much I hate Wonder Woman 2.
Well, we already did an episode about Wonder Woman 2. You can check it out at Drunk Banthas.
I'll just go leave some hate comments.
Yes. Go in the Drunk Banthas Wonder Woman 2. Leave all your hate and disparaging words.
I kind of like that movie. Minority. 1984?
Yeah. Okay, we got to table that.
I'm out.
I'm just telling you right now. We got to
edit me out of this podcast. I'm out of here.
Just do everything you did, but without me.
Don't do this anymore.
I will say, I just want to bring up something that Nine brought up earlier. This really cool plane scene. Then I want to hear what y'all's favorite scenes are of the movie. I
hated it.
But yeah, I really.
Here comes some G's. Love it.
They did such a good job with the space vibes. Thank you.
What do they want?
Me. My work. I never should have brought you along.
Here comes some G's.
Just enough shit in the
Which is why other ones suck. Other space fight scenes suck for you people who don't know. They suck because there is no shake. Y'all ain't got no shake in your fucking cockpit. Like, look at all the good, you know, there's no wobble, there's no movement to it.
You gotta shake it down.
I wish, you guys ever seen videos of real people in G-Force when their face, like, sad?
They're just, like, melt, they melt, they melt. They melt,
their eyes roll in the back of their head. I almost wish they'd done a little bit of that, just for that moment.
That would've been rad,
You can go online right now, well, not right now, you know, after you've watched this and you've liked and you subscribe because you're a fucking amazing person and you love us, but after that, you can go to YouTube and punch in G-Force, like people doing G-Force, and you can watch people just passing out. Like,
it's nuts. It's nuts.
I love it.
You know what part of it is too for me? Is that it has like the dogfight scenes in Star Wars are some of the most incredible dogfight scenes we've seen. And this reminds me slightly of it. Like, to see this whole like the chasing aspect of it, like, it just reminds me of it, and I think that's why, like, it's very likable.
Yes,
you see it, but now you're like, oh, they're just in a different sort of aircraft, and this could happen.
This was really awesome.
It could happen because those planes are made to break in that way, and so that they can land. Like, and that's what's really dope is they did a lot of like. She could have ejected, but she can't eject because she's in a spiral. If she ejects like that, she's going to die. So, you know, she gets it level so that they can land. Like, that was all pretty accurate. And, you know, nine times out of ten, she probably would have died. But, yeah, that's why she didn't eject.
It just didn't work. She's like, eject, and it doesn't happen. And she's like, okay, new plan. Like, but that makes sense.
Yeah, she tries to eject right before it goes out, but you don't want to keep trying to eject after you start to spiral. And once you're spiraling, because you eject out of a spiral, you're just going to get fucking twisted up out of there. If you manage to survive getting injected.
Yeah, yeah, that makes sense.
But enough about all that.
Noah, did you have like a favorite scene in the movie, or like one of like your favorite moments?
I mean, I think
beyond like the moments that made you cry.
Yeah, I mean, sorry, I cried a lot of movies. More, apparently, yeah,
we don't have to keep asking him cry moments. every 15 minutes, every 5 minutes. But Noah, so what did make you cry?
Tell us again.
What are you, my therapist? Get out of here. I mean, the action sequences I thought were great. I actually really love her escape scene where she's stuck with the things on. Just her breaking out of that thing, flipping around and landing is such a good moment. Yeah, yeah. I love that whole sequence. The train fight scene is great because they do so many good twists where you're like, oh, now he's this person. Now he's this person. Now he's an old lady. Yeah. And I just think it's so fun and cool. And the train fight scene might be my favorite moment in the whole movie, I think. But yeah, that little montage of the girl standing up over it just hits me so hard. It's probably one of between those two moments, honestly.
Nine, beyond the plane scene, is that like, is that your favorite, or is that...
That's one of them. And then mixed with like a little bit with the I think the part where she gets her powers just looks so fucking cool.
Yeah.
And she's like glowing and it's radiating. I like, that's probably one of the coolest like power intro introduction scenes I've seen. When we are just like chilling at the house with Talos and they're like just watching the computer load and they're like, god damn it, just like all of that, like Ben Mason's character, I love that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, like that right. Yeah, so we're trying to pull up
the... I had it. What happened? Did you switch a different one? Yeah, you switched one.
You
just went to a different video.
While we're looking for that, Blake, what was your like favorite scene from the movie? Did you have like a favorite moment?
Blake is not with us.
I think he's AFK. Okay.
No, we can't see that, so Alex is not paying attention. right here, I'm saying.
I'm driving blind.
Yeah, you got to look up here.
But
my favorite scenes are anything with Jude Law. I'll be quite honest, because like, I love a good Jude Law movie where he makes me love him and hate him.
Yeah.
And I both love him and hate him in this movie.
You have 2 minutes until you're
surrounded. Yeah. Anything with him, like it's fun. It's fun to see him as a trainer and it's fun to see him as like a bad guy. But there's no like one scene that I also the Ben anything with Ben Mendelsohn where you're like, I know now he's a Skrull. But like him with like Samuel Jackson, you're like, bro, you're watching it the first time. You're like, bro, you're a bad guy. But then you're like, no, he's a good guy. Like he's so much fun. And I will say this, low key, we're talking about fight scenes, the fight scene where he beats on Samuel Jackson in like the little like archive area. That's a lot of fun. Like he does like knees and elbows and it's real close quarter combat. And I'm like, for a Skrull, like, I get why he's a leader. He'd be fighting, fucking up people, man.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
He's funny.
Yeah, sorry. I was just gonna add to that. That was another aspect where, like, the de-aging and everything, or like the way that they used the stunt performers for Sam Jackson, it just like all worked really well. I don't know how they edited it or just, you know, interjected all that, but like those moments where he's like kicking Sam Jackson up against the filing cabinet is like, damn.
Yeah,
like it looked really good.
Yeah, he's taking.
Maybe that's why Sam Jackson's back is all fucked up in Secret Invasion, because he was doing them stunts like that.
Yeah.
What about you, Bill? Did you have a favorite moment in the movie? A favorite scene?
Favorite moment, favorite scene. No, not really. I like the whole movie. My favorite part would probably be either Grandma getting punched in the face. Hilarious. Or Coulson getting left at the Blockbuster, or the Glurkin eating everybody.
The Glurkin.
Oh yeah, that's Glurkin. Right. That was a nice scene too. Yeah. I'm probably like the either the plane crash scene or the scene where she gets her powers like at the end and she likes flying all through all the ships. Probably my favorites.
Super Saiyan.
Yeah,
she basically.
Yeah, she went Super Saiyan 7.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's very cool. Very, very cool.
I guess it's, sorry, this is, I guess it's around time we ask the who the MVPs are, right?
Like, oh yeah, who was your MVP of this movie? Nine. Go right ahead.
Oh, I think it's Talos for sure.
Talos, oh, I appreciate that.
Yeah. Such a funny choice making the Skrulls all New Zealand.
Talos, you're not going to fool me by being Bill. Listen, dude.
You know it's you.
I just want to play with his beautiful brown eyes.
Wait, who is Talos? Is it Alex or is it Bill? Who is Talos? We're all Talos.
Blue eyes.
We are Talos.
In this movie, we get to meet Gaia. You know, Gaia. It's our first.
Bro, seeing young Gaia as you watch Secret Invasion, like to get those callbacks to his wife, and you're like, this means so much more. I want to pay attention to this so much more now.
You see her seeing all these people dying, kind of gives you this idea of like what her life was like after they went to go search for planets to live on. You know what I'm saying? She's just seeing people die all the time. And she was locked on a spaceship for 6 years. That's got to do some kind of trauma to your brain. I don't know. I don't know how.
Yeah, they were like living in like almost COVID life for six years.
I don't know what the psychiatry is for Skrulls, but that wouldn't work on Earth.
Yeah. This is like before Netflix and shit. So there's only so many VHS. It's only so many times you watch all the right stuff.
Before Netflix. Oh, wait, you mean
how
the 90s?
How the fuck does that kid know how to work that? How does young
guy? Yeah, she showed her.
She showed her. It's just like on your create a player or whatever game you play.
Yeah, little color palette.
And she showed her how to use it.
Like, she's like making intricate.
I'm glad you said it.
She grew up playing Minecraft. She's great with tech.
You're right. Minecraft in the 90s.
No, Minecraft didn't exist yet.
You know, you get the color screen.
You just tap around on it. Who knows? You just kind of rub around.
It's got colors. It's showing you colors.
I think, by the way, some of these are callbacks to comic suits, if I'm correct.
Yeah. But she keep picking ugly ones, so she's like, why don't you pick something good, little girl?
Pick a palette, goddamn.
Yeah, a lot of people got that suit, little girl. Why don't you pick something good real quick? So my MVP. Who else had it? Noah, who is your MVP of the movie?
Oh, man, that's really tough. I'm really bad at picking this question.
You got to think about it before you come on.
I know, man. I know. I kind of think maybe.
What's wrong with you?
The most valuable. I know. What's wrong with you?
It's because he got love for everybody.
Yeah, I kind of do. I mean, that's kind of my problem. I don't like to pick favorites. I guess maybe Samuel Jackson in it, honestly. I kind of think he keeps the movie going. He keeps the movie moving along. I feel like, I don't know. I guess, I mean, I thought Brie was pretty good. She's great. Talos was a great choice. I can't pick, man. I'm not good. I'll say Sam Jackson.
Hey, I'm panicking.
There are no wrong answers, man. But you know what? I like your answer.
Yeah, I mean, I'm judging you, but like,
that was a good answer.
There's no wrong answer.
Thank you.
So, just to combine like both of y'all's answer, I just want to play a little clip of Talos being hilarious here.
Talos is very funny.
They're both very funny.
I just need your help decoding the coordinates to Marvell's lab.
Those weren't coordinates; they're state vectors.
What? Orbital positioning and velocity.
You didn't find her lab on Earth because it's not on Earth. That was the location on the date of the crash 6 years ago. If we track its course, we'll find it in orbit right now.
It's just basic physics.
In orbit. Was that so difficult to figure out? I mean, you're my science guy, right?
Jan Rog will catch up to me soon.
But he ain't Bill Nye the science. That's what he failed. Bro.
That's why he didn't figure it out, because you know.
What about you, Blake? Who's your MVP?
Jude Law. Jude Law.
Yeah, that's not surprising.
That's
at all.
Jude Law. Like, give me Jude because Law. Like it's not a it's you watch a Jude Law movie, right? And like sometimes they're hits, sometimes they're misses, and like this was like a nice like closer to a hit rather than a miss. Like, not his best role ever, but also like I'm like. I like what Jude Law's doing every scene. Like, I like what's going on here.
Yeah, he's pretty cool.
I liked him in The Bad Pope. Nobody watched.
Yeah, I was just about to say, like, he's played everything from a horny pope to a
my old job. That's my old job.
Yeah, sweet
horny
widow.
Pope.
All right. It's not a bad gig. It's not a bad
guilty. A lot of controversy, but you know, if you can move past all that,
yeah,
good job.
He can play smarmy really well. Who's your MVP?
Oh, it's your turn. You keep asking me all.
You know,
funny question. Look, I'm. Who's your MVP?
My MVP is actually Brie Larson. I'm gonna go with Brie. I like a lot of the performances in this, but I do think she had a tall hill to climb playing this character. That's like, this movie did make $1 billion, and this is like the first standalone movie to make $1 billion that wasn't like the featured a character that wasn't from a previous movie. Black Panther obviously made $1 billion. But he was in Civil War, so like people were a little bit more familiar, more excited about him.
I think you could argue the character of Black Panther is probably more popular in general and more well known, maybe even than Captain Marvel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I would definitely argue that.
So that's a pretty big feat.
He's a soul brother.
He's one of those
soul brother.
This is a little Jude and Bree.
I'm
so proud of you. You come a long
It's moments like this.
I found you that day by the lake.
Look how creepy his eyes are, man. He's
yes. Long enough to take me on.
Great. He got the mannequin eyes.
Yeah.
The mannequin Skywalker.
I always told you.
Killing younglings and shit.
Today you can knock me down as yourself.
His teeth look too white.
This is that moment. This is that moment, Beers.
Indiana Jones right here.
Yeah.
Prove to me.
Very
you can beat me with that.
Jesus,
it's amazing. And you know, I don't. Do y'all like that she didn't kill him right here?
It is a little
because it added to the fact when she starts dragging him to his ship. I was like, she's dragging him to his ship.
Yeah. It is kind of and humiliating, right? That's kind of a biggie.
And also, he's such a big problem that you can leave those people alive because, like, are they really going to come back and fuck around?
Yeah, no.
Or are they gonna find out?
And find out? Right. Yeah, yeah.
I did think that it was hilarious that she starts the ship by shooting the back of it. I was like, I don't think that's how spaceships work. But
yeah.
Well, no, like she got the power,
charging it, right?
She got the glow, Alex. You know what I'm saying? She like Bruce Leroy. She's got the power of the glow, glow.
Oh man, can't wait till our Last Dragon episode.
I was going to ask you guys have you guys seen What If?
Yeah.
In the Thor versus Captain Marvel.
Yeah, man. Yeah. There's a bear shit in the woods.
It's a different Thor, though, right?
He's
like kind of the party boy Thor or something like that.
Yeah, party boy Thor. And then there's Captain Marvel. I thought that. I love that animation style.
Yeah,
that animation style was dope. That animation style actually is really close to the style for the comics of Captain Marvel. It actually is very, very, very similar.
It is interesting, and I think it looks good. Like a lot of the times, I'm not a huge fan of that animation style, but I did really, really enjoy that. That series.
What If was pretty good. It's pretty solid.
My MVP, since everybody already said they MVPs, and I don't want to say nobody else's MVP, I'm going with one that might not have been in everybody's fucking mindset even.
I'm going to say Goose.
As a matter of fact, I wanted to say Goose. So, I'm glad you said that because I wanted to say Goose because Goose is gonna go into the what do they call it, Alex? When you forget the
honorable mentions. Yeah,
you see, because Goose was a fucking testicular character, meaning it needed to be there. I don't know if y'all know that we'd be making up things here.
You would have been my MVP character. If his name was Chewy. I don't know why they changed
it. No, I don't know why.
Yeah, okay, it is interesting.
I can't find this clip that I'm looking for my MVP, but my MVP is the security guard. My MVP is the security guard, because let me tell you something, y'all. When she fall out the sky and lands in the shit, you know, you're a security guard in L.A., like, you ain't expecting to see nothing like that. You see all kind of crazy shit in L.A. That ain't what you expecting to see. But never mind that. He's still chill. He just pulls up, but then when she come out, dressed up in a spacesuit after blasting photon blasts out of the window. He is just like solid stuck on this bitch lane.
It's a good scene.
It's a great scene. But you know, Noah, as an actor, when he did that in his casting call, he went in, he read for that scene. That's exactly what he did. That's the look that got him apart. And he fucking rocked with that shit hard for like 3 weeks before that fucking movie film. And he nailed that shit. Dude, and they came back to him when Samuel Jackson comes up to him. He got the same face. Yeah.
And he points in the same direction.
I was like, yo, he is the MVP.
He's funny. He was funny.
I didn't bother to look his name up because I'm foul. But shout out to him.
That's that guy.
Let me change my answer real quick too, because I want to give some credit to LaShawna Lynch. I think she did a great job.
Yes, she was great.
I think she did a great job.
Wasn't it enough for me to give her MVP?
She did have some really great scenes, like that scene where she talks about how much she missed her and how she couldn't talk about it.
Yeah, that was a good, very heartfelt scene.
Also, that scene, I want to point out, and I want to ask Blake what he thinks, because he's the relationship expert on the show. I think that they really just left it open and ambiguous as to whether or not Romo and
Auntie Carol
were actually in a sexual partner relationship.
Yeah.
Because to me, they were. And it's implicated heavy, but they can't go into it because Carol's got amnesia. So you can't be like rubbing up all on your girl with amnesia. Right. And also, we're in the 90s and they're in the military where don't ask, don't tell was still a rule. I want to say a law, but
for sure.
Enacted at the time. So they wouldn't have been able to be open about it. And in the 90s, Auntie Carol. Over there, that means Auntie Carol is gay. If Auntie Carol got a roommate that live in the house with them in the 90s,
they were really close.
That means you was gay.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just saying. No, I'm saying that is real. Also, I don't know if y'all grew up in the 90s, but that is real.
The number one reason why that's not confirmed, and that's because it's Disney.
Yeah, it was Disney. They didn't want to.
Exactly,
say
but it. Yeah, I'm saying. I'm not saying why it wasn't confirmed. I'm saying I feel like it was insinuated to leave it open to be ambiguous. You know, what do you think, Blake?
We don't got the documents to support that Carol Danvers is the carpet licker. You know, we don't really know what's going on, man. Yeah, I don't know, man. Not really. I didn't watch it either one time and both times to be like, oh, she is playing for the other ball team. Like I didn't catch on to it. And maybe it's just cause I don't catch on to context or I'm not looking for that, or I'm just not putting one and two together.
I mean, shipping. Just I don't know. two best friends casually raising a child together.
Exactly. Look, the signs living are together. All there. The signs are all there.
I did think, oh, there might be something there, but again, to your point, because she does have amnesia, it would be a very weird thing to approach. It would be interesting if, like, dramatically, like, that's because it seems like, is it Monica or Maria who's the new
Monica?
Monica's the new one. She's a Phasar. What's her name?
Photon.
Leaving the comments Faison? If we're wrong.
Is it Phasar? Phasar Love.
Phasar Love. Yeah,
it's Photon.
I think her name's Phasar Love.
Yeah, pretty positive.
But yeah, she says it seems like she's always throwing shade toward Captain Marvel, and maybe she's having you were my other parent and you left kind of vibes. And that would make it narratively really interesting if that was the relationship. But again, because of the amnesia thing, I think it's a reasonable reason.
It makes it harder. Yeah,
it would give them an out of why they didn't explain that in this movie. And maybe they can bring it up later on in the movie.
Harold, it's me. You some nuts. We used to fuck around.
You don't remember.
Yeah, that's a little weird for sure. Yeah,
be a little weird.
Go check out our Gen V episode.
I think it would be more tastefully brought upon if, like, it's the daughter who's like, "Hey, you were my mom." And I don't know, I know that you don't remember that, but you were my mom. So like,
it could be
interesting.
Yeah.
By the way, this is recording obviously before Marvels came out. By the time this releases, it'll be like a day after or a couple days after. So, but yeah, like let us know in the comments what happens. Like, how do you feel about the Marvels? But we've already asked that question. We need to go ahead and ask another really important.
What?
Question.
Hold on.
Is that?
Hold on. I need a shot. Because
you know what?
Are you taking a shot? I want to point just one thing out that will
That's why
add
I was going to take a shot because I want to let you point
that will
out.
Add even more context and be like, oh, when I watch this, I look at this and I'm like, this thing that I'm seeing makes more sense. Is when Jude Law has those powers where he's kind of telekinetically with technology moving objects around, it adds context.
I'm sorry, just the way you said it was funny. I'm sorry.
Oh yeah,
I'm
that's what it is.
I try to mute myself when y'all are talking. So I don't do that.
But it adds context to Kang in Ant-Man, where you're like, oh, that's how that technology works. It's like telekinetic, like magnetic, not quite magnetic, but you can think things, they move, and it's these powers built into your suit. So when I watched it this time around, I was like, oh, I've seen that. Oh, okay. And then so it's existing in this world. It pre-exists, and Kang just sort of made it a little bit more refined, but it exists and it works.
That would be dope if like Kang is seen to have like somehow influenced their technology somehow in the past.
Oh yeah, in the past and, somewhere. Like,
certain events take place. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because he that nigga apparently he over here doing shit. Man.
Well,
he's you know
what
I'm saying? Like I don't know. Look, shout out to Jonathan Majors, man. You out here doing it right now and. You know you are doing it when white people are suing you. That's all I can say about that. You're doing it, bro. You're doing it. You're out here doing too much, man. Doing it.
But you know what we need to do? Like, I think it's time we
ask the testicular question.
The fine.
We ask the testicular questions here. That's what we do.
Joke.
Here we go.
Does it? Oh.
You
saw that fake out? I got y'all a fake out right then.
That's right, guys. At the end of every show, we vote on whether the show does stand the test of time. Noah, answer the question.
Yeah, I think super easy. Yeah, absolutely. It absolutely holds up. I thought it was great. I liked it better the second time watching through it. I thought, I think some things kind of fly through a little too fast. I think it deserves a little more time to let some emotional beats land a little harder. But I enjoyed it. I thought it was a great movie. Yeah, I think it absolutely holds up. That's my short.
See, I like that. See, and the women who are watching right now are going to appreciate that answer too, Noah, because you should give it. That's what you need to give a woman, a little time. You know what I'm saying? Take your time. Don't be trying to rush. You know what I mean? Y'all trying to beat through the beats, but you don't need to bop through the beats. You just need to ride slow.
Yeah, that was my subtext. I was trying to.
I saw you. I'm telling you, they're gonna appreciate that.
We
man.
All knew what you were saying. But now we have to ask one.
Well, hold on. I want to ask a question before we ask a question.
Okay. Does it? We got to go to the funniest guy I know besides myself. Nine, what do you think?
Oh my God. Goodbye, folks.
I don't know what to say. I love it. I'm about to probably like put on Endgame after this because
okay. Yeah.
I'm I'm just like, okay, let's do this. I'm so hyped for the Marvels. This was like a great idea because now I'm gonna probably definitely go watch that in theaters. Hopefully, like she, you know, like the same thing that Noah said, like they could have made this like almost like a 2.5 hour long, like almost like epic as they're introducing the character. Mm-hmm. So we were really getting to know her, but hopefully in the Marvels, we're getting a bit more of her personality. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to see her, interacting with, Kamala Khan.
Kamala's so funny.
Yeah. I think that's going to be like, just the way that she's going to react when she meets, Captain Marvel is going to be just like, it's just precious, right?
Yeah.
And then, yeah, hopefully Monica Rambeau is also like, because, you know, she had that same kind of mannerisms and stiltedness in WandaVision. I don't want any of that. You'll never know what you sacrifice. No, I want like some, we got Tiana Paris.
Yeah.
Give her that personality, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm, yeah. So
hopefully that they add a lot of that.
I want I want some, they clone Tyrone vibes.
Right, you know, like, let her get ratchet on that.
Let her get a little ratchet, man. Let her get a little ratchet outside of herself a couple times, just twice. Because if they do it too much, then they are overextended. Yeah, they pandering to black folks, and I don't like that.
But give her some space chicken to eat or something.
Oh, but, yeah. I do want to point out. Well, you know chicken. What? It doesn't matter what I want. I do want to point out one thing though.
Does it? Oh. You got me on that one. Blake, you really got me.
Not least, Blake. What do you say?
Yeah, I'm the least funniest guy here. I must be because if nine is the funniest guy, you know.
At least you're not bro, better.
I'm gonna say this. I got that. I feel very Dana White-esque about again. Women not going to be the UFC. The women getting UFC is like, bro, this is the best thing ever. So I made some comments early on about past me, but like me watching this movie in the last few days, I'm like, oh, well, who was I? I was a completely different person. This movie completely holds up. And it makes you miss.
Pussy back then? Jesus.
I told you, I watched this movie with a female I was dating. Like, she turned me on to this movie. So
she turned him on, man. And then he watched the movie.
That did not hold up. That did not hold up. But this movie definitely holds up, and it makes you miss Marvel making good movies. So I will say that, like, if there's any other answer that it doesn't hold up, and you're like, but I loved Ant-Man and the Quantumania, bro, you live your life mid, and that's why you like mid movies.
I still think it's better.
Treat your movie brain like you treat your fucking stomach with garbage. You're putting too much Taco Bell into your fucking brain instead of fucking putting some Wagyu beef.
But I guess there's only one more question to ask. I guess we should ask it really quick before we get out of here. We're going to talk about this thing right here. We could probably answer this together, right? Super Saiyan?
Yeah. It does hold up.
It does.
Now, we got different answers as to why, but, you know, I'll start out first because mine's probably a little longer than his. It holds up because the score is amazing. We all talked about the music. We're all just a girl over here. We didn't have a girl to be on the show with us. Don't make fun of us. Don't be mad at us. Look, we tried. God damn it. You know, it just didn't work out. But we feel like we all represent.
He-Man Women's Haters Club.
No, we the He-Man Woman Lovers Club. And we love women and we love everybody and we love this movie. But to Noah's point at the beginning of this episode, this hit harder in all of those girl power moments than it did the first time. And I felt that way the first time, but I still felt like it hit harder this time because we've gone through the Me Too movement. We've gone through COVID. We've gone through this incel high suicide rate in this country at this point. And to see these, you know, these empowering moments that are just sprinkle, 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 and still hit really hard, that was extremely impressive. Also, my second thing that makes it hold up is the script tying into so much shit after this. Doctor Strange didn't really tie back into anything that made us feel significant, like hold on to nothing that felt like nutritious. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't no nutrients in that. It was just garbage. It was a bunch of ice cream. But this movie gave us all the vegetables the rice and all that shit. The brown rice, though, not the white rice, just because I don't know why. I don't look. I like all
brown rice is healthier for you.
Peel off rice,
yeah, right. Yeah, you know, it look, yeah, you know, peel off, yeah. Goddamn black
saffron.
Rice.
You like saffron rice?
I like jasmine, but but yeah, like another thing that makes I don't even know how I got on food, but. The one of the things that makes this
check movie, out our podcast, The Right Rice, every Sunday.
You know,
it's a good podcast. That's a good
check,
one.
Yeah, check out my column on the Gotham Gazette. It's about white rice versus black rice. Is it evil? No, they if you order certain places at like Indian restaurants, the black rice is called the devil's rice.
No.
Swear to fucking God. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, it's like it's kind of like a weird. Right. It was a common thing with like. Now we're talking about rice and food, but
that's what happens when you
this
leave.
Is like the taste of what you'll get on the Right Rice podcast.
That's right. You know, my podcast is Gotham Gazette.
Just a taste.
Yeah, the Gotham Gazette is actually a real thing. But yeah, like
they know
with
that
with angel food and devil food, you know, devil's cake is, you know, is the black cake, angel food is the white cake. It's just that whole thing, you know, just that subtle thing. The black is bad and white is good.
Subtle. What's so subtle about saying nigga in rice? Like you just said nigga with rice. Anyway, what makes this movie good is that. Told you mine was going to be longer. What makes this movie even better than all the rest is that moment where Carol shoots the light speed engine. Yeah, when she shoots the core, it blasts into her. And I mentioned earlier it was a dope ass shot where she absorbs all of the energy, gets her powers. The reason she was able to absorb those powers, as we know now, because of Miss Marvel, Kamala Khan, is that they're actually mutants. She has an X gene that allowed her to absorb that.
Oh, that's interesting.
Because that's what they introduced. You know, we know that all of these people are mutants because we've read the comics. But the first time that they introduced this mindset was in Miss Marvel. And Miss Marvel doesn't happen without this Marvel. You like that?
This Marvel, Miss Marvel.
This Marvel. Yeah. Hey, yeah, that could get you a t-shirt. I don't know. Put something up. Let me see.
We're gonna have to talk after this
episode. Okay, let's do it. We'll talk. Got ideas.
But yeah, so yeah, like you said, it does hold up. Alex, why does it hold up for you?
I'll keep it short and sweet.
I know you
like this is a pretty good story because like I mentioned, the origin story is a little bit different where she already has her powers. She just kind of has to rediscover it. It's a mesh of two great Shane Black movies, Long Kiss Goodnight and Lethal Weapon, where it's just this buddy cop amnesia story where this woman has to overcome all this trauma and oppression.
She was rigged.
Yeah.
And Samuel Jackson was Murtaugh.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And it was weirdly paced sometimes. Shout out to Ronan. Every once in a while.
This thing is just...
I loved it.
Every once in a while, there was some scenes that kind of dragged. But on the whole, I really, really dug it. And I wish that this noise didn't happen around it. I wish that it was just another movie like every other one. We could just look
came
back
out
on
too
it,
close
like a
to
movie.
Came out too close to
Wonder Woman.
No. This movie came out too close to the Avengers movie before Endgame.
Oh, Infinity
War. Infinity Wars. Mm. This came out the month after Infinity Wars.
No, it actually came out a couple months before Endgame.
Oh yeah, that's right. A couple. No, I don't. Is it a couple months? I think it was the month before.
It was
that's too soon,
March,
right?
I think it was April. May. I think it was April and May. It was March. It was March because it was Women's History Month.
So it was the last week of March, week of March, and then come out the first week of May because they came out. Solo came out the same weekend, and that's why everybody hates Solo. Because Solo didn't actually suck. It just came out the same fucking Ooh, weekend is fucking because May the 4th. They put it out on May the
Captain Marvel came out March 8th.
Solo. Yeah, I'm talking about Solo came out. Then Endgame came out in May. I think it was actually not May the 4th. It came out the week after May the 4th. And me and Alex both said, why didn't they put it out on May the 4th? That seems like it makes more sense. And it's not on the same weekend as the biggest fucking movie in the last 10 years.
So, if I'm not Solo came out May 10th, and Captain Marvel came out March 8th. So it's 2 months.
Captain Marvel. I mean, I was talking about Endgame and Solo.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. My bad.
No, that's also shouldn't be the right year, though.
I'm Googling it all as we speak.
Same year. He just said it came out the same year. They just went out in different months, but he was talking about two different movies.
Actually, Solo's 2018, Captain Marvel's 2019, and Endgame is also April 2019. So
it must have been Infinity Wars.
March, right. April. Yeah, it came out a month before Infinity Wars. Endgame.
Solo?
No.
Captain Marvel.
No. I was talking about Solo must have came out before Infinity War. It came out at one of those bigger movies. Like, probably. It was either in Endgame or Infinity War.
It was probably Infinity War.
I do remember, it was weirdly competing with another Disney.
It was competing with
Infinity.
Yeah. It had to be Infinity because it was competing with Thanos.
I think it was basically because, while we're talking about Solo, I think it was because it came out very soon after The Last Jedi. And that basically.
That also, yeah.
Completely shattered the fucking fan base.
Yeah, I'm pretty positive. I'm pretty positive it came out with Infinity Wars. It came out one of the big Marvel movies too. I'm just not saying that's not true. It didn't contribute to it, but low numbers, all of that shit. This is why all of it's bad right now. This is what I've been trying to tell everybody.
One day we will have
I know. I'm just saying. I'm priming everybody.
17-hour doesn't hold up for all of the Star Wars movies.
No. No, that's not what's gonna happen at all.
Oh, we're gonna do it.
I was on The Last Jedi alone.
Seriously, between me and Nine, we got at least 14 hours on just The Last Jedi. That's it,
guys. If you guys want a 24-hour doesn't hold up of Star Wars,
it will be a $2 Patreon.
Put it in the comments.
$2 Patreon. Go hit up the Patreon, Nine Nerd Yard Patreon. Hit up, and we will work that out for you if y'all want. Right, yeah, it's $1.
I'll plug
But before we get out of here, unfortunately Blake had to leave a little early, but you guys can find all of his social media in the video description.
It happens when you have to pee. You drink so much, then you have to pee.
Yeah, when you gotta go, you gotta go.
There was someone you heard that? There was someone like stalking him. He was like, get off of me.
Yeah,
y'all can't hear that because y'all in TV land. Yeah. We in real life. And we can hear those things.
Yeah, somebody asked him if he likes scary movies, and he's like, I gotta go.
Hello, Blake. He's going to love that. I know he can't see that right there, but he's going to love that part.
Yes.
Nine, where can the people find you out into the interwebs?
Well, thank you very much for asking, my dear boy. you can find me on Nine Nerd Yards and also Nerds at Night, which is a fucking offshoot subsidiary where, I mean, you can also find all of these gentlemen, not Noah. Don't really know him yet, but
that's right. Nice to meet you.
You know, but where you can find all of the other Nine Nerd Yards crew, including Blake and these fine gentlemen. And I should be done with Atlanta by now when this is whenever the fuck
this comes out. This is November the 12th.
So I should be well done with the Atlanta iceberg and then the Atlanta series finale video, so y'all can go to Nine Nerd Yards and have some good old fun watching all of those. And like I said, the Patreon is $1 if you ever want to join up, and you get, you know, all of the exclusives and early access and tell me what to do. And I actually have to listen. Some of y'all just tell me what to do and don't give me $1. So, it's like, you know, gotta listen to
click the bell, y'all. Do this. See, look, don't just click subscribe.
Just subscribe.
Click the bell.
Yeah, do the extra work.
I'm just doing it so everybody sees.
18, you know, get us to 18K, and if I'm already at 18K, make sure we get to 19 or in
the hey, yeah. Look, getting there. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. I know this is happening a lot. I know we say this a lot, but this really happens. There, I got to get people who actually have theirs to take photos of theirs. But if you leave, if we can get 9 Nerd Yards up to 19,000, we'll give y'all a Drunk Panthers t-shirt. We'll give
who are we gonna give it to? We're gonna give it out to randoms.
You gotta subscribe. You gotta subscribe, and then you gotta tweet. Okay. Or you gotta hit us up on Instagram. Yeah.
Hashtag kill Sabine. Go ahead.
Hashtag kill Sabine.
Actually, matter of fact, do that for Nerds at Night. Give them a t-shirt for
you know what
that
you're right. Alex, tell them where they can find you.
We gotta go to Noah.
What's
Noah,
up,
where
guys?
Can people find you?
You guys have a couple things you can find me on. You can find me on Instagram at I don't Noah, all one word. You can find my website, iknowadude.com. And I've been on Twitch for the past 6 months, every Saturday and Sunday at around 5 p.m. Sometimes it's a little earlier, sometimes it's a little later, at Mr. Whimsy, twitch.tv/Mr. Whimsy. But yeah, you can find me all there, and it's been a pleasure being here, you guys. Always fun. Nine, I just subscribed, all right? You've been subscribed to.
I just followed you on.
Let's go to I Know What Dude.
All right. I'll give you a follow for follow. Do it right now.
Do that.
Well, never mind. Oh, I did it. I did that wrong. Is all.
What are you looking for?
Nothing. Also, we just want to go ahead and point out, make some little comments. We appreciate every single one of you who is watching right now. If you've watched this long, then that means you a down ass motherfucker, and we fuck with you. Even if you skipped and came back and watched and stopped and came back and maybe went all the way to the end, whatever. We fuck with you. Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
If you fuck with us and you like this, you'll like everything else we do at Nerds at Night, 9 Nerd Yards, Drunk Banthas channel, Instagram, Twitter, and likewise, and all of the podcast things everywhere.
Yeah, absolutely.
So go like, subscribe, fuck with us on Instagram. Everybody's doing funny stuff. You're missing out if you're not watching that. If you just watch this,
you don't want any nerd FOMO. It's really bad.
I'm telling you.
It's rough.
It happens to me.
It's really itchy on your back.
Yeah.
But yeah, and if you guys didn't remember all that that jazz, you can find Noah and Nine's social media information in the video description. Thank you guys so much for watching this episode. New episodes drop every other Monday at 4:20 a.m. Check us out on social media platforms at The Drunk Banthas. Please like and subscribe. It's not required, but if you don't, you will not be invited to the cookout. We'll see you guys in a couple weeks. Take care.